Next, imagine at the eve of World War II, a mission by Britain to prevent war with Germany. Jeffrey Brown speaks to an author who tells that tale in the latest book on the NewsHour bookshelf.
September 1938, Germany threatens to invade Czechoslovakia. Britain fears being drawn into war just 20 years after the end of the First World War. And diplomats scurry between European capitals to negotiate, assessing each other's influence, strengths, and weaknesses. It's the real-life setting for the new historical novel, Munich, the latest from author Robert Harris, well-known and read for his many imaginative takes on ancient and modern history. And welcome to you.
Hi, Jeff.
You have written nonfiction and fiction about this particular moment. What is it that galvanizes you still?
I think it was an incredibly dramatic story. 4 days in September 1938, when the war came very close to war, the moral compromises which had to be made to preserve peace, the controversy that still surrounds it, the sheer drama of Chamberlain and Hitler meeting, and I wanted to write a novel about it for 30 years.
So these characters, it's Hugh Leggett, Brit, and Paul Van Hartman, the German. Are they based on real characters, or are they all imaginative?
The background and the characters of Chamberlain and Hitler, who are both in the book, and the civil servants and so on, that's all real. And the places, Downing Street, the Führerbau in Munich, Hitler's apartment, that's all real. But into that I put these two characters. Hugh Leggett's completely made-up figure. 27-year-old, high-flying Foreign Office diplomat who is working in Downing Street and flies with Chamberlain. And then the German character owes a lot to a guy called Adam von Trott, who was one of the conspirators against Hitler, was killed in 1944. Yeah. But I drew a lot on the character of von Trott for his portrayal. He was part of a kind of nascent embryo resistance to Hitler in the German Foreign Ministry, which I wanted to try and put in the book.
You know, it's often said that you're fictionalizing history to sort of explore the what-ifs of history. I wonder if that's what you see yourself as doing, or are you just delving into the history to tell it in a fictional way?
I thought at first of doing this as a what-if. What if there'd been no Munich Agreement? Because part of the argument for the book is that Chamberlain and Hitler, actually it was the opposite to what most people think. Chamberlain actually got what he wanted, and Hitler was furious with this whole deal. And Chamberlain's much different character to Hitler. So I thought of doing it as a what if, and showing that actually we might well have lost the war if we hadn't had Munich, but then it became too conjectural. So I decided really to put as much of the actual truth and facts in. So I hope people come away with a different impression of the Munich Agreement.
Well, and also a different impression of Neville Chamberlain, right? I mean, in history, he's the great appeaser. In your book, he comes off better.
Well, he certainly was the great appeaser, but he was a dynamic, driving figure. And there's no doubt, if you actually look at it, he got Hitler on the back foot, because Hitler wanted to invade Czechoslovakia and begin the war in 1938. And to the end of his life, he was lamenting that Chamberlain had cheated him out of the war. Chamberlain was hugely popular when he appeared in Munich. He got louder cheers than Hitler did. Mm-hmm. This drove Hitler mad. But he realized that the German people weren't ready for war. And Chamberlain did a very clever thing. He sort of appealed behind Hitler's back to the German people. And he postponed the war, and Britain rearmed much more fully, and also fought on a better issue, if you like, the invasion of Poland. Much better to fight on that issue than the taking of Germans back into Germany.
As a lover and reader of fiction and novels, when you're writing this, we know the ending, right?
There is a war. Yeah.
You build all this tension, and there's a great plot between these characters. But I know how it's going to end, ultimately, at least in the big picture. Do you worry at all about that?
Not at all. I mean, one of the most successful post-war thrillers was The Day of the Jackal. We all know that President de Gaulle was not assassinated. It doesn't stop it being thrilling. Uh-huh. I did a novel called Pompeii. We all know that Pompeii is destroyed. People waiting for the shoe to drop, in a way, is often a source of greater drama than when you don't know what's going to happen.
To the degree that you're looking at different periods of history, what does something have to have for you to want to tackle it?
I think it has to have something perhaps that's new, one can say. It has to have something that's relevant. I hope that from Munich people will take away the fact that whenever we use these loose terms about appeasement and Munich, actually we're misusing them, and that there might not have been the great Churchill victory speeches in 1940 if we hadn't had Neville Chamberlain patiently trying to buy time and to make sure we, when we did fight, we fought on a big issue and not something that people would probably have given up on if we'd gone to war in 38. Well, so I like something, if I can twist the history and show something new, that I like doing.
What about our own moment? Do you see anything here that in 10 or 20 years that you might want to tackle?
The trouble is, it's all so bizarre, you can't do it in fiction. It's putting political novelists or thriller writers out of business. I find this again and again with modern reality. It's so outlandish, there's nothing that your imagination can come up with that's more bizarre. That's why I often reach into the past. And if I was going to write something about modern America, or indeed modern Britain, I might well go back and take a Roman emperor or something like that.
All right, that's one approach to our daily news.
Nero.
Okay, the new novel is Munich, Robert Harris. Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Thank you.